getting ready to go and wondering what it would be like. I am the kind of person who goes to a lot of these protest marches. And I was thinking, does it make any difference? And I realized that over the years as I've gone to protest marches, I'm not sure that the march has actually changed the minds of the people we were marching to change. But it changed me, because when you participate in one of these marches, you feel encouraged and supported and inspired to do more things for the cause that you're marching about. So I guess there was practically nobody in at the EU because of coronavirus on Friday, so they probably didn't see our march. But those of us who gathered to march felt more motivated to do something about climate change. So I was thinking more about what happens at all these marches. You know, you make your clever signs, or you just march. You maybe wear particular clothes that are symbolic for the march. And then you get there, and there are chants around the cause of the march. And then there's the music. And I thought back over all the years I've gone to protest music and protest marches, and the music's always the same. The same songs that came out of the early 60s are at these protest marches around the world. We shall overcome, we shall overcome. We sing that, I sang that in South Africa. I sang that in Palestine. And then, all we are saying is give peace a chance. I sang that in Barcelona, I sang that in London, I've sung that in New York. And then, as I'm thinking about this, I had this great idea. The song that we should be singing tomorrow, I thought Thursday, is "The Answer, My Friend, Is Blowing in the Wind." The answer is blowing in the wind. Of course, because climate change, fossil fuel use could be largely decreased by increased use of wind power. So that would fit perfectly. I thought more about that song, though, because it actually wasn't the time I was supposed to be thinking about my songs. It was the time I was supposed to be finishing my sermon. And blowing in the wind. I wonder if Bob Dylan was thinking about today's gospel when he wrote "Blowing in the Wind." So I went to Wikipedia, because they know. And it turns out he wasn't, and yet there are things in the lyrics of that song that are practically lifted right out of Ezekiel and the blowing in the wind expression in today's gospel. And Dylan sang, are you ready for this? He sang for John Paul II, who said, "I know what that song is about. It's about the Holy Spirit." And Dylan did not correct it. So I guess I'm not original. But let's remember the gospel we just heard and put it in its setting. Jesus has just begun his ministry. He's called his disciples. He's turned water into wine. He has begun to do some other miracles and healings. He has come into Jerusalem, and in the Gospel of John, he's already gone into the temple and turned the tables over. And the Pharisees and political and religious leaders of his time already say, this man is dangerous. Already they're getting worried about him. And so, Nicodemus, who is one of those religious leaders of the time, has to go in secret to see Jesus, because he couldn't go publicly, because Jesus isn't Jesus tells him, you need to turn your life around and live it anew. Just as Jesus has turned the tables over in the temple, Jesus is calling human beings to turn their lives over. But not in a way where we're in control of it, rather where we allow the Spirit to move us, to follow and transform our lives so we can transform our world. As Jesus says, it involves a commitment like Abram and Sarah in our first reading today, where they picked up everything and moved to a place where they didn't know what life would be like, to a place where they didn't know the culture, where they didn't own anything or have anything. Pick up everything, meaning to be born anew, to live anew, to live a new life. And Jesus says, that's what Nicodemus needs to do. That's what all who follow him need to do. Life is a little bit full of that wind right now of needing to change. Where the wind blows through our world, we are facing incredible challenges. Churches around the world are not allowed to meet because of coronavirus. Some church buildings, if climate change continues, won't exist in 10 years because they will have been covered by rising seas. We have new dangers, new diseases, and we have in our world the return of some old dangers as we see Nazi-type groups rising again, and we thought that was all gone. The wind of God's Holy Spirit needs to blow through all of us, through all of our world. But Jesus says, we can't control it. But we can be open to the Spirit moving in us and directing us. So there seem to be three things that come out of today's story. The first is denial, or keeping secrets, doesn't help the situation. Saying that there isn't climate change is not going to make it go away. So saying there are not other dangers, that there is not an increase in nationalist hatred in our world, is not going to make it go away. It is there. So Nicodemus going in secret. Well, the good news is, eventually, Nicodemus was not going in secret. Nicodemus, 7 chapters later in the Gospel of John, speaks up at a meeting of the Pharisees and says, wait a minute, let's listen to this man. He has something we should hear. And then later, Nicodemus goes to the cross and anoints the body of Jesus with his own burial anointments at the time of the crucifixion. So clearly, though he started out in secret, in a way behaving like a denier, he was transformed. Second, commitment is needed. We do have to change our hearts and our actions to be true followers of Jesus and to be transforming our world. Like the commitment of Abram and Sarah, some things in our lives have to change radically. And third, other people can't do this for us. That won't be enough. Our own hearts have to be convicted to follow Jesus' call and to allow the Spirit to give us the courage to risk and move forward in faith. I was thinking more about Bob Dylan's song, Blow Your Wind. And he really is pretty prophetic in that song. He describes specifically some of our own human behaviors that Jesus says the wind needs to change in us. I realized this morning the choir's here, so I'm a little embarrassed to sing. If you know it, sing along, and you can cover for me. And if you don't, well, hopefully, you know, a pump or something to cover my missing the tune. How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever bound? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. He touches on our need to transform our relationship to nature, to see suffering around us and respond to it. I change in the next verse the word mountain to glacier. How many years can a glacier exist before it's washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years must some people persist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can you turn your head, I'm sexing it, and pretend that you just don't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times can someone look up before they see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till we know that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. May we feel the wind blow in our lives and in our hearts. May we look up and see the sky. May we open our ears and hear the cry. May we free